We live in confusing times. Sometimes it's really hard to tell what is real and what is not real when it comes to God and His Word and His kingdom. We're given so many confusing things from the world that make us wonder, is God's Word really true? Is His kingdom really everlasting?
Welcome to Finish Well Radio, where changing the world starts with changing the home, with your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hi, welcome to Finish Well Radio. Today we're going to talk about the kingdom of God, and we're going to talk about the real, and then we're going to talk about Satan's counterfeit. And I hope this will be really eye-opening to some of you who may have never thought about things in this way before. So we are excited as Christians to know that the Bible is the Word of God, the Bible is truth, and the Bible can help us to make sense of things that we're told that just sort of hit us and we say, is this true? Is this not true? Why are things so confusing? Why is it so hard sometimes to tell if something's real or not real? It's because of this. Satan cannot create anything new, but he can counterfeit what God has created as good and methods of worship that God has instituted. So we're going to look at some things that God has done or God uses to teach us. He uses as symbols or he uses to pull us closer to himself. And then we're going to talk about ways that Satan has counterfeited that. Let's start at the very beginning. The Bible says that in the presence of God, there is light. The Bible says that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Jesus called himself the true light which had come into the world. He also called himself the light of the world. Israel was to be a light to the nations, and the church was to be the light of the world. So here we have this idea of light, of purity, of truth, that Jesus is light and in him there is no darkness at all. But right away we find out that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. So just because something feels good or looks beautiful, it doesn't mean that it's God. And that's very important for us to keep in mind as we look at the real and as we look at the counterfeit. In the very beginning after the flood, the Bible tells us that in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark rested upon the mountains of Ararat. So we know that since the flood, the first thing that happened is that the ark rested on a mountain. We know that Abraham was commanded to sacrifice Isaac on a mountain, that God appeared to Moses in the burning bush on Mount Horeb. And later, Moses would climb a mountain to meet with God. God passed by Elijah on a mountain. And he also says that he installs his king upon Zion, his holy mountain. So he calls Zion his holy mountain. He defeated the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. He gave Ezekiel a vision from a very high mountain. Jesus often went up on a mountain to pray, to be alone, and he taught on a mountain. He was transfigured on a mountain, and he met his disciples after the resurrection on a mountain in Galilee to give them the Great Commission and to go back into heaven. So we see that mountains are significant to God, but we also see that Satan tries to come in and counterfeit them. We know that a mountain speaks of God's majesty, a mountain speaks of God's strength, and yet where were the high places in Israel? In the mountains. And so constantly kings were commanded to destroy the high places that were in the mountain. What else do we see? Since the flood, the very first man-made mountain was the Tower of Babel, probably a ziggurat. And it was supposedly they were trying to reach into the heavens with this man-made mountain. And of course, we all know what a disaster that turned out to be. But all over the world, you see duplications of man-made mountains. You see mounds in North America, ancient Indian mounds or Native American mounds. You see ziggurats and you see pyramids all over the world, especially in South America, in Egypt. You see the pyramids, but they're not limited just to there. So you see this attempt to create a place that's religious. So we have this pattern of God to meet with people on mountains. And then we see Satan coming in to counterfeit that, to create man-made mountains, first of all. All of these man-made mountains are for religious purposes, to somehow attain some kind of power, some kind of spiritual power or spiritual feeling through this mountain. So that is our first and second counterfeit of the real. The first is that light, God is the true light, and yet Satan masquerades as an angel of light. And then we have the mountains, that God often uses mountains as a place to meet with him, and yet the devil will try to encourage mankind to build their own mountains. And also sometimes too, you see a lot of times in different cultures that are pagan, where they make a mountain or a volcano some kind of sacred shrine or sacred place. The next thing that we see is that God created the stars, and they're beautiful, they're amazing. He calls them by name, and the Bible tells us he gave them as signs for seasons, and that somehow there were things, messages from God to his people about himself in the stars, and somehow they would mark off seasons. And we know that. We know that the moon, which reflects a star, isn't a star, but we know that the moon marks off the months. And we know that our rotation around the sun marks off the days, and our trip around the sun marks off the years. So they're in place and they allow us to mark off time. God himself created the week, but the others we use our relation on earth to the sun and the moon and the stars. And we also know that the stars speak of God's majesty, because who could know billions of stars and know them by name? That's just simply amazing. But what has Satan done? Satan has perverted the study of the stars into what we call astrology. If you've ever heard of people reading their horoscopes, then you've heard of this astrology, and you know that people will look up their sign and they'll look up, you know, their daily little message. Well, that is not from God. In fact, it is commanded in the Bible to stay away from all of that kind of divination, that it's the superstition of it. There is a false power in there that is from Satan, and he stirs people up. But those messages, those horoscopes, are not from God. We have a gift from God, the stars. We learn about God's love in the stars. But once again, we have that perverted by Satan, who tries to tell people they can know their future. We know not even Jesus knows the day or hour he will return. So God is not giving us the gift of knowing our future. Let's talk about something else we see from the Lord. And that is, we see the idea of facing east. It starts in the very beginning in Genesis 2. It says, the Lord God planted a garden toward the east. And so in the very, very beginning, after they were kicked out of the garden, they would go toward this entrance and they would worship. The Bible tells us that the blood of the sacrificed bull was sprinkled on the east side of the altar and in the front of the altar. And we know that the tribes of Israel that were camped on the east side were the first to march out when moving to a new site. And we also know that when God comes to his temple, the temple that Ezekiel prophesies about, he comes from the east and he approaches the east gate. And so somehow there's something about the east that is symbolic. Well, what do we have that Satan has counterfeited. Instead of that just being a genuine thing that God did, Satan has taken it, counterfeited it, and made so much meaning into it that is not there. And so we have people bowing to the east to pray to idol gods. We have all kinds of man-made buildings, man-made mountains, man-made henges, all over the world that somehow are involved in facing to the east, and it's become a very superstitious type of thing. So what is it that Satan tries to do by corrupting and counterfeiting what God is doing? We see that by masquerading as light, he doesn't come in darkness. Have you ever noticed that God is very clear about everything? Okay, here's my word. This is what it says. Even when we're not allowed to do something, like we're not allowed to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden, Adam and Eve, we're not allowed to eat from that. God didn't hide the tree. He just said, hey, here's the tree. You can't eat from it. Very clear. Satan will always try to deceive us, to slip in through some side door, to counterfeit, to just like he said in the garden, did God really say that? God is afraid that you are going to have this knowledge and that you're somehow missing out if you don't have this knowledge. Adam and Eve did not acquire any knowledge in the garden when they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They acquired guilt and shame. And I'm sure they spent the rest of their life wishing they could go back and have not eaten that fruit. And in the same way, when we taste from Satan's counterfeit, we reap such destruction. But we're going to talk about more counterfeits. We are going to talk about the counterfeit of human sacrifice. When we get back, we're going to hear from our sponsor, Powerline Productions. We'll be right back.
The God's Girl series was created for young women from 12 to late 20s. If you find yourself in that age bracket, navigating exciting paths and making choices that will impact you for the rest of your life, stop a minute and draw close to the Lord. You can use God's Girl's Bible studies to unlock treasures in God's Word that will speak to the issues you face every day. Each Bible study introduces you to other young women who share their heart with you at the beginning of each lesson. God's Girl's Beauty Secrets, God's Girl's Friends to the End, and God's Girls Talk About Guys, Virtue, and Marriage are just three of the titles available. Remember, God's Girl, you are loved by Jesus, and He has amazing plans for your life. You can purchase God's Girls Bible Studies at Amazon.com and PowerlineProd.com. Powerline Productions. Being world changers, raising world changers. You've been listening to Finish Well Radio on the Ultimate Radio Network. Now back to your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hi, welcome back to Finish Well Radio. We're so excited to be talking about God's real kingdom and Satan's counterfeit kingdom. And we're excited to talk about that because we do not want to be ignorant about Satan's schemes. Now, I'm going to talk about something that is really kind of gory, but it's something that in God's plan is a good plan, although Satan's counterfeit of it is a horrible, horrible thing. You see, God had a plan a long time ago for one human sacrifice. He would sacrifice himself for the sins of the whole world. He would become a man, he would put on human flesh, and he would be the human sacrifice. And he prophesied about it from the beginning of time. As soon as Eve sinned, he talked about her bruising the heel of the serpent, meaning your descendants will give birth to Jesus, who will be fully God and fully man, and he will be the perfect human sacrifice. And when we think about that, God? How could God die? How could he love us so much? How could he be willing to take our place? We're the ones who sinned. We're the ones who deserve to die. Not God, not him. And, you know, it is so hard to think about that, because we know that God is absolutely perfect and we are sinful. And why on earth would he take our place? Why on earth would he do that? And it's so confusing sometimes when we think about God's choice of being the human sacrifice, but only that human sacrifice would atone for the sins of the world. Nothing else would atone for the sins of the world. Now, this is what's interesting. It isn't like God is just, oh, I'm so angry. You guys just make me angry. Just give me a human sacrifice. That's not God. This is a legal justice thing. God is so loving and he's so just and he is so holy that sin has to be punished. And he is so gracious that he didn't just kill Adam and Eve right then. He allowed them to have children. He allowed them to live almost 1,000 years. 930 years Adam lived. But he was basically saying to them, very slowly, you will feel the effects of sin and eventually you will die. Death is the punishment for sin. But could there be a way that one death would forever atone for sin? And yes, that one death is the Lord Jesus. So we have the Lord giving the perfect human sacrifice, and we stand in amazement that God would love us and God would do that. But we also have the counterfeit that Satan comes in with. And human sacrifice is one of the sickest, most horrific things that we see in pagan religions. And we even see human sacrifice in our day and age today, where we have aborted babies losing their life, being sacrificed for, you know, as a culture, just whatever we want to do, our pleasure, our quote, well-being, unquote. And so we see it even today. But let me take you back in time to the Canaanites. They worshipped an idol god called Molech. And Molech required human sacrifice. And these people would sacrifice their children. Can you imagine your parents saying, okay, going to sacrifice your little brother? I just can't even imagine that they could do this. It even says there was a king of Israel who sacrificed one of his children on the fire. Now, that is horrific. It's not just limited to the Canaanites. I'm sorry to tell you that the Hawaiians practice human sacrifice. The Aztecs practice human sacrifice. Many North American tribes, probably the Minoans, practice human sacrifice. The Romans had a really weird way of punishing their criminals, basically a form of, you know, human sacrifice. And everything they did was devoted to their gods, their idol gods. And so here we see this. We see this horrible, horrible thing being done, not in the name of legal justice, not in the name of appeasing holiness, but in the name of turning away the anger and the wrath of demons. And we see man in his superstition trying to turn away the negative fruit of these demons instead of saying, God, how can I be right with you? What can I do? How can I serve you? How can I be the man or woman you want me to be? Instead of looking for the word, instead of learning about the word, these people chose in superstition to offer human sacrifice. And throughout the history of the world, I am so sorry to tell you, there has been so much human sacrifice that has taken place. We know that once we ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, that that one perfect human sacrifice pays the penalty for our sin for all times. And so hopefully, like me, you've asked Jesus to be your Savior and your Lord, and you've given your life to Him. And when you stand before Jesus, He will not see your sin, but He will see the holiness of Jesus Christ. So now that we're born again, we have the perfect kingdom of God, which is holiness. And the Bible says, without holiness, no one will see God. And we know that His gives us His Spirit, and His Spirit produces the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit. And so once we're born again, we can be holy. Now, it doesn't mean we'll never sin. There will be times we'll be tempted and blow it, but we can live a life that is pleasing to God. Satan comes along to Christians, non-Christians alike, and says, whoa, you don't want this life. You don't want this kingdom life of holiness. Take my counterfeit. Take my counterfeit. This is so fun. You're going to love getting drunk, says Satan. You're going to love hurting people. You're going to love destroying their lives. Oh, I'm not going to mention that people are going to destroy yours too and hurt you too. And so people are tricked into this counterfeit of a good life. God has this holy life that is good. Jesus called it the abundant life. See, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. But Satan's trick to that is sin, is a sinful lifestyle, a sinful way of living. And he tries so hard to make it look attractive, so hard to make it look innocent. And yet there's something in us that we know this isn't right. Have you ever noticed how people long for God's perfect life? How many of you know anyone who says, oh, I don't want to marry someone who loves me. I want to get married and divorced about 5 times. No one wants that. When it happens, they're horrified. But so many people want God's perfect will of one man marrying one wife and loving each other till death do us part. So instinctively, we're drawn to this life that God offers. We know that it's wonderful. But then Satan comes along and says, hey, don't wait for marriage. Come and do this now. Hey, don't try to press into God and experience the joy of the Holy Spirit. Come on over here and experience drunkenness or drugs that can make you feel happy. But we know that Satan's counterfeit never, ever, ever measures up to God's perfect and holy kingdom way. The last thing I want to talk about with God and his real kingdom and Satan and his counterfeit kingdom is this. God pours out his grace to us who believe in Jesus, and his grace gives us everything we need for life, for being good. It says for life and godliness. It gives us everything we need to overcome sin. It gives us everything we need to draw close to Christ. It gives us everything we need to be accepted by the Father. We don't need to put forth effort and work to somehow be right with God, to somehow just, if I can just get enough self-control, then I can overcome this. No, the Christian life is a surrender to the Lord living his life through us. It's a choosing to press into him and to allow his Spirit to fill us, because we live by grace. And it's not about our human effort to somehow be good enough. It's about surrendering to God and allowing him to live his life through us. We rest in him rather than strive for him. And some of you are thinking, what? I feel, you know, like there's all these rules and well, let me just tell you this. If you press into God, if you read his word, if you pray, if you seek him, if you put him first, if you lean into him, he will pour out wisdom in your brain. He will pour out the desire for what is good in your heart. And he will lead you step by step into living in a way that is right and good. Everything about God's kingdom is different from the world. in the world, we say, oh, how can we fit in? How can we be part of this group? And in God's kingdom, we are looking at Jesus. We are pressing into Jesus, and he is the one who changes us from the inside out. Well, I hope that you have enjoyed hearing about God's real kingdom and then realizing, wow, Satan has a counterfeit to offer for almost everything God has. And I could go on and talk about a number of different things. But I would just ask you, as you're listening to this, to keep your ears open and keep your ears open for God's Spirit to speak to your heart. And when you feel something like, this doesn't feel right, ask the Lord to show you, is this God's real kingdom or is this a counterfeit of Satan? And I would encourage you, run from every counterfeit of Satan and enjoy living in God's real kingdom. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Finish Well Radio with Meredith Curtis and the Finish Well team. Please listen in every first Monday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern Time here at the Ultimate Radio Network.